The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Or three-point. Buries it.
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
There we go. Finally get this truck rolling today. It's the Big Shot Bob Pod. That's B-Dog, yes. Brandon Harper. I'm Rob Jenners. In a minute here, joined by... I'm calling him King Shit of NBA Twitter.
Oh, no, that's the king of... No. That's the king of Twitter, period.
Yeah, Josiah yes. Johnson is with us. And showing up on Ben Simmons' time is Robert Ory.
Hey, first of all, my name's on the title, so I can show when it the hell
oh,
I want.
Oh, this is how this is going to go today. All right. Okay.
Hey, it's your world, man, big dog. Hey, I'm just living
first
it.
First of all, tardiness is a thing that I hate. So I am sorry, but when it comes to handling some business, when it could be to between, you know, six figures, seven figures, you got to be a little late sometimes.
I get it. We don't have those calls, so I can't judge. You know what I'm saying? So. And let's bring him in, man. Josiah Johnson's with us. And if mm-hmm. if you're an NBA fan and you're involved on social media, I would hope that you follow King Josiah because my man, you are on point. and fast with your stuff. So what's going on, dude? Good to have you.
I appreciate y'all having me. I'm doing like three-figure bags still. I try to stuff on time as quick as possible. Once I get to those six or seven, though, I'm definitely going to take my sweet time. But I appreciate y'all having me on.
No, man, we appreciate you, dude. So, like, I guess here's my question. Now, by the way, I've been following you for a while because Legends of Chamberlain Heights is a criminally slept-on show. And I know you were obviously that was kind of your creation. You were involved with that. Loved that when that was on. Bummed it's not. But when did you realize that this NBA Twitter thing was kind of taking off on you?
Honestly, man, I wasn't a big fan of social media for a long time. I only really did social because I was involved with the show. But the whole time I was doing that, my wife was like, "Yo, you gotta build your own account. You're doing everything for the show account. If the show goes away, you're not gonna have anything to show for it." So I finally started listening to her. So probably around, you know, literally like 2016, 2017, started to get my feet wet in it. But over the past few years, just tried out a bunch of different types of content. Comedy's pretty universal, so people love to have the mood lightened and be in a good mood. So really seen a lot of a rise in the account over the pandemic. Everybody was at home not doing anything. We were all kind of bored, no games to watch. Obviously, the bubble started again. So we all had The Last Dance. So I just really went headfirst into memes and the content videos and really just trying to put stuff to keep people's mood light during these tough times.
Now, look, I know you, you know, you get a bag, you know, there's money in this. And I've seen your super follower thing. And look, bro, I got to applaud you for getting to the money. You know, anything that you're good at, you monetize it. And you know, I see people on social media, Twitter, IG, and they try to do what you do. And sometimes it hits and sometimes it doesn't. And the phrase that a lot of people use with you consistently, he don't miss. Bro, what is the art into, you know, I don't want to step on your bag, but the art of just not missing when it comes to your content on Twitter, because you don't miss.
I try to keep a big shot mentality. So anytime I get the rock, I got to knock it down, man. But that comes, and what people got to understand, man, it comes from a lot of failure. You know, Twitter's kind of like the universal stage, if you want to call me a comedian or whatever. So I bombed a ton of times, man. I've gotten a ton of stuff that didn't perform well. And the great thing about Twitter and the bad thing about it, too, is they'll definitely let you know about it right away if they're not feeling your stuff. So definitely been on the other side of that. And for me, it was a mental thing. Like, all right, I don't really want to be on the other side of that too often. So I'd rather put out content that people like. And really just a lot of strategy studying, kind of just consumer habits and things like that. And just knowing now the content that people want to see when they want to see it, how they want to see it. I'm almost 40 years old, so I've got a really extensive library of just, you know, I came in the 90s, early 2000s, so we just got so much great stuff between Ice Cube and DJ Pooh and John Singleton and just all these great classic movies and films and stuff that, you know, when I was playing ball in my younger days, would be in the locker room just reciting lines to each other and quoting stuff. And we didn't really have the stuff that we have now. We had like Sidekicks and, you know, AOL and things like that to get it up, but not in a way where...
Hey, what's wrong with AOL? I still got an AOL account.
And nothing wrong, but obviously, yeah, you couldn't really... The way Twitter that now you can just reach millions and millions of people with one tweet. So yeah.
I have, just for everybody, yes, I still have an AOL account, but I only use it for when someone says, "Oh, put your email in." You know, you have that one account, like, I'm going to give it to him. And just in case he is talking about something, I'm glance at it. But, you know, my real one is a different one. So, but Josiah, you know, it's a lot of things that's going on in this world when it comes to sports. And what's your take on what's happening now with, you know, let's say Kyrie Irving, you know, other guys who don't feel like they should get vaccinated or whatnot. And I know it's hard. And I know everybody teaches them. I'm not saying a person should or should not get vaccinated, but how do you feel about that? That not Kyrie is not going to be able to play in Brooklyn if he stays in Brooklyn and everybody else in the league when it comes to San Francisco also.
I mean, just to be honest, as a black man in America, when that vaccine first rolled out, I was definitely hesitant. You think about stuff back in the day with the Tuskegee experiments and things like that.
From Alabama, yeah.
Hesitancy anytime. But, but the point that I think somebody else made that I thought was brilliant is like, look, they gave it to the rich white people first. So, you know, in that instance, they're not, you know, it's not going to be damaging. So to see these guys, and, you know, if this, God forbid, ACL injury or back injury, knee surgery, they're not in the operating room questioning the doctor and saying, I saw on YouTube that you should try this surgery or whatever. So it's weird to see that all these guys, and I think the league's like 95% vaccinated. And obviously we work in the media, so the media is always going to play up the stuff that's going to clicks, right? That's the clickbait. So they're going to focus on the 5%. But you're seeing these guys now all turn into Doogie Howser, you know, with the kind of medical stuff and going to YouTube University and looking at stuff in that light, and now starting to cost them money and cost them games. And in Kyrie's case, I believe he can't play in Brooklyn. He can only play half the season if he doesn't get vaccinated. So it's tough. And you'd hope that the Players Association and the union, the guys would get together and just kind of figure out a way to make sure that everybody's on board with this thing. Because ultimately, I think all of us can agree we want to get this pandemic over with. Hopefully these guys will start listening and start getting the necessary people in their corner to tell them to do the right thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, you can't really control another man. Kyrie's his own person. I got a lot of respect for Kyrie. He's a tremendous individual. But I just feel like in this particular instance, I disagree with him. And I hope that he gets the right information necessary to make the right decision.
I mean, it's you hit a point, you're right, where it's like everybody that was struggling with their kids' third grade homework during the pandemic now has a degree in medical. It's like, no, now I know better than my doctor does. It's like, all right, that's cool. And you're right. Us white folks didn't even hesitate. We were just like, let's get that shot. We didn't care.
It was going to the billionaire. It's funny looking at Ted Cruz and Trump and people like that, and they're fully vaccinated talking about they support these other guys.
Yeah, Ted Cruz is the one that sticks out, too, because he was online with the other day going, I support Kyrie and I support all these other dudes. I'm like, man, your state's got problems. You should probably like take a small step back. And Rob might have issue with that because he's a big Texas guy. So, you know.
Oh, man. First of all, I
yes,
am
I'm lumping
a
you in with
person.
Ted Cruz. Yes,
that's what I'm saying. I'm like, you just smacked me in the face with a cement boulder, and you say you put me in there with Ted Cruz, man.
Lumping you up with Ted Cruz.
Exactly. But you know, the thing about it is, you know, people all can make their own decision. And I just think a lot of times they should have now start building these hospitals for those. So you're not vaccinated, you go over there. That's the trial and error hospital. If you vaccinate, you come over here to the hospital where we got the number one doctors in the world to help you out. And it ought to solve some of the problems right there, you know, because now you're putting everybody else at health risk and all this kind of thing. But, you know, but that's a whole nother story. We're going to get back to the good part, the funny part. So I noticed you never do anything with college, do you? You ever do anything with college? So am I missing some things? And you used to, you know, talk about college a lot or not?
I mean, UCLA, definitely. Obviously, that's my alma mater. Anytime I get the love and pay homage to UCLA, the number one basketball program in the world, you know, historically, I will do that. But, you know, I try to just focus a lot of my sites. I work in the NBA Twitter space, and I work with a lot of companies like Turner, and shows I do are more gravitated towards that. But when there's an opportunity to get some jokes in and let them fly, I'll definitely get them going. But it was heavy during the tournament, you know, kind of. It was tough last year, too, because a lot of games were getting postponed, moved around, shifted. So we were just kind of in a state of chaos. But this season, I'll be focusing on the college stuff a little more.
The reason I said that, because I don't know. I think because when Alabama played UCLA, I think you said something about Alabama. I had to go back and look at it. Well, I can't remember what it was. But I was like, hold on, man. What are you talking about here? You know, but it's all good, though. You know, it's all fun and games. You know, it's all right. My tide will rise again. We'll be all right.
Y'all got a squad, man. I'm out here talking smack. Then obviously y'all come back and it's like, ooh, okay, hold up. I'm about to get clowned right now, so I had to chill it out a little bit.
Well, do you ever get that? Do you ever get players or people that want to check you for your content, like an NBA player to come at you?
Oh, definitely. Sure you do.
I mean, it's gotten a lot different now when guys like LeBron and KD and the Stephs of the world. I'm a big LeBron fan, so I used to go at it with Steph fans. It's never anything personal with the guys, but, you know, fans will go at each other, say a lot of outlandish, crazy stuff, and now you got to try and get under their skin and ruffle their feathers. But now these guys follow me, so I got to keep it cool, man. I can't, you know, I don't want to see one of these dudes in traffic. You know, I was thankful it was the pandemic. I could say stuff and not have to worry about it.
Man, don't get scared, man. It's just jokes. You know, those guys will be all right with it. You know, they're going to come at you. You know, just got to say it in a funny way, man. You'll be all right. But they are sensitive. I'm not even going to lie. There's a lot of guys that are sensitive.
You know that. Yeah. They take it too serious.
So speaking of, you know, you talk about the Lakers and jokes. Like myself, I know you're a Laker fan. And throughout this offseason, we've heard every joke in the book about the Lakers' age. You know, LARP, Life Alert, all these things that should be sponsoring the Los Angeles Lakers. Give me your thought process, you know, as a Laker fan and what you're thinking about how this squad is being constructed with the veterans and a little mixture of the young guys as well. Because I'm about sick and tired of some of these jokes.
I mean, but they're funny, though.
We got an old roster. They're funny. And that's the thing, man. The jokes are funny. You got to laugh. But oh, yeah. They got a roster full of old heads. So I hope they can lighten the load for LeBron and AD. You know, hope those guys don't have to play more than 50, 60 games apiece. And now we've got enough of a squad with that second unit and guys like Dwight coming back, who I thought Dwight was instrumental in that bubble championship, just getting in the heads of opposing big men and just punking those dudes, only how Dwight can. But Dwight, DeAndre Jordan, other guys now to help to lighten the load for AD. So, you know, I think they got him at the five now. I'm sure he'll want to play a little bit four, too, as well. But just a great squad. Trevor Ariza is a guy who I played with at UCLA who, you know, I loved Trevor back in the days when he was on the Lake Show. And I always felt that, you know, if he would have stayed on that squad, he would have went on and kind of been, you know, Kobe, Scottie Pippen, or filled that type of role, just, you know, in terms of being that great, great second option for that squad. But just a lot of good dudes. See a Melo and LeBron link up. The thing is, you know, if this squad was like 2013, 2014, you know, this guaranteed championship, they probably win the 74 games. Now, you know, we can't come into there with that mentality that these guys are still as young as they are. Like, LeBron's going into year 19. You know what I mean? The man's played more minutes than anybody at that stage. It's like, you know, he's got a lot of tread on those tires. So hopefully they can serve for the regular season and we can get to the postseason and avoid injuries like we did last year and really go ahead and run the table and win another chip.
You know, think about it. I was talking about this the other day in the barbershop, and these guys always want to question me when we're going in. That's the best talkers in the barbershop. And it was like, man, are we too old? I was like, think about this. If you took every one of these guys off this team and spread them around the league, you would never mention their age. But now you put them together collectively, you're like, oh, crap, they're going to get hurt. That's just because you're old doesn't mean you're going to get hurt. And I think in my 16th season, I didn't get hurt. I didn't play a lot of minutes either, but I didn't get hurt.
That's why you didn't get hurt.
I was going to say.
But no,
your ass sitting on the bench is what you did.
I didn't get hurt in my 15th season either. So, and I played more minutes in my 15th season than I did in my 16th season. But my point is that these guys have been in the league so long. They know how to take care of their bodies. They know when to shut it down. And they know when to say, hey, coach, you know, I can't go today. You know, put somebody else. And know in this day and age, with as much rest that they give these players, I don't think age is going to be a factor for the Lakers. I think they'll be fine, you know, but who's to know? We said that we gave Brooklyn the championship last year, too, and they got injured all down the stretch, and they're young. So injury bug can jump on you anytime, but I do think the Lakers will be fine, and they'll be right there fighting for that chip.
You know, my favorite partners on the show are partners like we have on this week, specifically our friends at Lightstream, and here's why. Rob and I have both used Lightstream in the past for loans, and now they're doing their part to kind of help you get out of credit card debt. So if you have high balances, which is what I use Lightstream for, and you have some interest rates maybe that are wishy-washy, which honestly, you could do a lot better on your interest rates right now, smarten up and pay off your credit card balances with a credit card consolidation loan from our friends at Lightstream.
Yeah, we love Lightstream. We love that their rates start at 4.98% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. And even better, the rate is fixed, so it would never go up over the life of the loan. Think about that. It won't go up.
That's
as long
awesome.
As you have the loan. Yeah, you can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Think about that. Order today, get it by the night. And just for our Big Shot Bob listeners, you can apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. But the only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Ori. That's Hory. Lightstream.com.
That's LIGHTSTRAM.com/Ori. It's subject to credit approval. Rates range from 4.9% APR to 19.99% APR, includes 0.5% autopay discount. Lower rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Ori for all the information. What about the there was Simmons news today, by the way, before we even started the show.
I missed that.
Harper, what's the Simmons news? The
so
latest?
Apparently he's due $8.25 million
today. Right?
Yeah, but yeah. According to reports, is the Sixers are not going to pay him the $8.25 million because apparently he's not going to show up to camp. I think the only way he could get it is him showing up to camp, and he probably wouldn't participate. He'd probably be like, look, I'm showing up, but I'm injured. But the report is he's not going to show up. So he's not getting his $8.25 million that he's due today.
Shit, I have my ass in some slippers. Sitting on the sideline of my bathrobe. I'm like, shit, I'm here.
Eating a cheesesteak.
Exactly. Yeah, for real. Well, it's like, how can you show up and say you're hurt, though? Like, is this like third grade where you forge a note from your doctor? You know what I mean? Like,
man,
Ben cannot
so
participate today because he has a sore foot. Like, what, huh?
I'm not going to call this guy out, but when I was in the Houston Rockets, my second year in the league, you know, they used to have that last cut Christmas Eve. So think about that. If your ass get cut on Christmas Eve, your Christmas is awful, you know, so they kind of moved it back from that. But this guy all of a sudden pulled his hamstring December, 1st of December. Man, that hamstring stayed hurt to after All-Star break. And so he couldn't get cut because you couldn't cut anybody if they were on IR. And so he played it because he knew he was going to get cut. And so he played it off to a T. Like he walked around with a limp and everything. But trust me, there are ways to get around it. You just say your back's hurt, man. Your back's tight. You know, nobody know. Doctors don't know. They don't know your body. So that's what I would do.
Call
to get
it
my
out.
8.2.
Who was it? Was it Mad Max? Who was it?
No, it wasn't Mad Max. I don't even remember his last. His first name. His last name was Todd. White guy, big tall guy. Yeah.
Now, Dr. Google's going to find it. Yeah. Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
Todd.
Hey, Jose, I do want to ask you, you know, going back to the social media aspect, and you see, you know, at one point in time, social media was just this thing that people did
Todd
for
Murphy.
Fun. Thank you. Information that we couldn't live without.
I needed to know, damn it.
It just hit me. It just hit me.
I needed to know.
So at one point in time, it was just a social thing that people would just do. You know, people would post, get their thoughts out or whatnot. To see the evolution of what Twitter and Instagram has become as far as a business, like, you know, from where it started to where it is now, how amazed are you that now people are making, you know, they're getting big, big money just off simply, you know, putting certain things out, getting these interactions and getting these numbers that they're getting. How amazed are you to see the transition of these things over the years?
I mean, when you look at social, it's a humongous business, obviously a humongous opportunity. And that's the thing I try to stress to the people that look like myself. Traditionally, you look at social media teams and they all look a certain way. And it's very, you know, they talk about diversity, but once it comes to those teams, it's not diverse. You know what I'm saying? Like, you talk about leagues that are 60 to 70% black, those social teams are generally in the 10% range, you know what I mean? So understanding that the content that people are putting out has the ability now to go viral, get impressions, get views, build accounts, build networks. You look at companies like Bleacher Report, ESPN Now, they've all shifted everything towards a social lens, putting up memes, putting up comedy, kind of going in the same space and stuff that I'm doing. But I salute all those guys. I know a lot of guys that work there and we're all good friends. It kind of, I salute the community, but I always try to stress to people the importance and the value of the business side of it. You know, people look at me and they're like, well, why do you tweet this way or tweet that way? Well, like, this is a business now. I get paid through being social. So I'm making really good money supporting my family doing it, but also want to unlock the keys and show people that they can do it as well. It's funny, man. I see a random person on Twitter post a great piece of content. And I'm like, I already know who's going to snatch this up and I already know when they're going to put it back out. And, you know, this person's not going to get no credit for it. And that's just kind of, you know, it really bothers me, man. It's super frustrating. So I love the way that the business has grown. It's literally a multi-billion dollar industry now. And I would love to obviously see more black and brown people and minorities getting involved with and be able to really benefit from it as well.
Speaking of rich white people, Jerry Jones, apparently this came up this week, offered LeBron a contract to go play for the Cowboys. LeBron was talking about it on that Monday Night Football show with Peyton and Eli Manning, which is not bad, by the way. But again, a lot of white people. not to knock it.
White people, nothing wrong with white people. White people that got swag and flavor and about the movement, like yourself. Like yourself.
Just saying.
You know.
But like,
if you're down with the cause, we rock with you.
I just have this heart. I don't know how. Like, how do you do that? Like, if you're Jerry Jones, what's your thought process? You know you're not going to get him, so it's a publicity stunt, right?
Hey, give LeBron a goal line package. Give LeBron a goal line package. Just throw that thing up in the air. And even if he's using it as a decoy, just have him on the field. Let him go out and block a couple field goals. You know, LeBron could be valuable for the Cowboys.
He could. I mean, when he was in high school, he racked up 16 touchdowns. That's not terrible.
Let me just say this. You know, each player has so much pride in their sport. And you let this outsider come in, they're going to be waiting to light his ass up.
Especially if it's LeBron, you know.
Yes. They're going to hit him so hard. They're like, oh, I'm going to play him out. Yeah. But you know, that's how you had to take that pride in that game, man. So that's why you and crossover. Like, anytime you think about it, anytime a guy comes up against an NBA guy, says, oh, I can take you. And he says, what? Do you really want to see what I can do? That shit you see on TV ain't what I really can do, because it's kind of tapered down. So you have to go at someone like, oh shit, now I see why you're a pro. And a lot of guys don't understand that. It's a difference than you see me in the playground doing something and me on the court, because there's so many guys in the NBA that you're like, oh, he can't score. And you take him and put him in a playground situation, he go out and give you the numbers. Like, well, why don't you do this on the court? Because they don't run the plays for me. I don't have the freedom. So, you know, you take pride in your sport. So I don't think LeBron wanted to step on that field, because they would light his ass up.
Yeah, they'd have concussed LeBron. Look, what you did in high school is cool. And just because mm-hmm. you 6'8", 260, and you athletic, look, like Big Shot said, these guys take pride in their game. LeBron can go across that middle. That'd be the last time he go across that middle. Trust me. Believe you me.
Like, show proof is that. Look at all these rookie quarterbacks in the league right now getting exposed. I'm like, you would never think Trevor Lawrence was like, damn, you know, he look like he can quarterback. You know, Justin Fields, I know he ain't got the line, but shit, he would run it for his life. So it's so many things that you have to take an account for when you step into a field that you ain't used to.
All right, well, listen, before we let Josiah run, we got a game. We try to involve our guests in some sort of a stupid-ass game that we like to play on the show. This one's called the NBA emoji game. So, this is kind of how this works. First of all, we got to get our Kawhi Leonard theme going here. Hold on. We're so we got the Kawhi NBA remix going. Here's how this works. Siri is going to read you a list of emojis. You just have to guess the player that Siri's describing with this list of emojis. So let's go over here to Siri and just get... all right, welcome, Siri. How's this game work?
Welcome, players. Thank you, Josiah, for playing along with us. Just a warning, if you lose this game, Big Shot Bob becomes the new king shit of NBA Twitter.
Oh, no. All right, so... okay. Siri's for, all right, so Siri's just going to read you...
Hey, there's certain titles you don't want. Don't worry about it, Jay. I don't want that title.
Yeah, you know, you're not on Twitter enough, so it's no fun. It's just no fun. All right, so give you the first list of emojis. When you know the player, just holler it out if you think you know who it is. So here we go with the first list.
Black man dribbling a basketball, donut, the sun, the Liberty Bell, a desk, man sitting at a desk.
Charles Barkley.
Man eating.
Yeah.
He used to be the round mound of rebound. Okay. Yeah. Now he's damn, just round. The answer is Charles Barkley.
Very good.
You said Liberty Bell. I was like, it's either Embiid, Ben Simmons. I thought it was historical too. But
okay, yeah, so my bad.
Donut.
Past or present.
Donut. No, Donut gave it away.
Yeah. Man
just
sitting
to let
at
you know,
desk.
Josiah, this is my first time playing this game too.
It is okay. His first time.
Yeah, we've never played this on this show before, so this is fun. All right, Here's your second NBA superstar, past or present.
Black man dribbling a basketball, a fancy car, a warrior, a wizard, a secret agent, the number zero, a wildcat.
Gilbert Arena.
Yeah, you got it. Good job, guys.
Be careful. He's definitely strapped. The answer is Gilbert Arenas.
The series a little...
Hey. He was in D.C. when he was strapped, right?
Yeah, I think it was.
Shout out to the legend, Gilbert Arenas.
Love Gilbert, man. Love
Agent
him.
Zero.
Yep. All right, here's your next player. Go ahead, Siri.
White man dribbling a basketball.
Oh, good.
A bull. The number six. A bald man. A snake. A white snake that isn't the 80s hairband.
Scalabrini.
A man missing LeBron.
No one's getting that, huh?
Oh, Caruso.
There you go.
Oh. Nice. You said white man. A sixth, I should have gave it away.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
You call him the white mamba. We call him Milk. The answer is Alex Caruso.
There it is.
You said white mamba. You got to go Scalabrini.
Yeah, exactly.
The Brian Scalabrini jokes come up many times on this show. All right, here's your fourth NBA superstar, past or present. Let's see if you guys can get this one.
Black man dribbling a basketball.
Every time.
Baby. The Seattle Space Needle. Baby.
Sean Kemp.
Another baby.
Very nice.
During this question, he had another baby. The answer is Sean Kemp.
Wow.
That's just uncalled
Wow, that's just wrong, man. That's just wrong.
We love Sean. All right.
Serious.
Worst pullout game.
Oh, man.
How many kids does he have?
9 or 10, I think. And I might be shortchanging that.
Let's just say he got a starting five and a bench.
You forget Dwight Howard right behind him now.
Closing in.
Yeah.
Closing in. Another
year.
What's the football player that got 12?
Phillip Rivers got like 9.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Phillip Rivers is raising a Mormon community, I believe. Yeah. I'm not mistaken.
But no, it's a football player that has like 6 or 7 baby mamas.
Oh.
So.
Wow.
I don't know offhand.
He's a DB.
Antonio Cromartie. I know he got a lot of
Cromartie.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, this is the NBA game and not the NFL game. We'll all be hitting our heads against the wall. All right, here's your fifth one. We get two more to go here. Let's see if you guys can get this one.
Black man dribbling a basketball. The planet Earth. A pancake.
Kyrie Irving.
New York City.
Maybe
if you put the vaccine in a water bottle and threw it at his head, the answer is Kyrie Irving.
That was mean. That was mean and uncalled for, Siri. All right, last one. Last one. Let's see how you guys do. Last one.
Black man dribbling a basketball. A rocket ship. A ring. A ring. A towel. A sun.
Robert
Los
Orr.
Angeles. He might throw a towel at me for including him in this game. The answer is Robert Horry.
The legend.
Hey, Josiah, let me tell you what should have been added in there. It should have been added. The next time you see Danny Ainge, you're going to slap him upside the head.
And more like hit him with that cinder block like I talked about earlier.
I don't think anybody will be mad at that. We will watch that. And
that is quality content is what that is. I would watch that all day long.
We should get him on the show.
Dude, you know what? I'm not even going to lie. I've been trying. And I've exhausted every avenue I can think of to get Danny Ainge on the show.
I'm gonna get it. I got his number. I'm gonna call
Do
him.
Do you really
come on the show?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Hold on. Time out. Mm-hmm. This whole time, a man that you despise, that you mm-hmm. can't stand, your blood mm-hmm. boils every time we mention him. You telling me you got his digits and you ain't called him yet?
Hey, do you call your enemies?
If I want him on the show, I will.
I never wanted him on the show. That's the whole thing.
Until today.
Now we got to get him on the show. I got to reach out now.
I would love that. I really would. I would like you guys to settle that. I really would.
Guess who I talked to for an hour yesterday?
Uh-oh.
This could be anybody.
Play with me at Alabama.
A black man dribbling a basketball.
Baby.
Put his hands around another coach.
Oh, Latrell Sprewell.
I finally talked to Spree, man. So Spree said, we got to get him on the show. He said he's going to look at his schedule and we're going to get him on the show.
Man, he's the most sporadic person I've ever met because we've been going back and forth on Instagram and via text and stuff. And then it's like he's wanted to come on, then he disappeared for like 2 weeks and no one would hear from him. And
look at you, Josiah. Your appearance is bringing people together. Who would have thought?
Look up.
See?
Hey, those Alabama squads were legendary. I'll say that, though. We was watching y'all in L.A. like, who are these dudes?
Oh, man. I always talk about that crew when we came out here to play Arizona when Arizona was ranked number 2 in the country. And they had Bison Daly. They had the whole crew. They was stacked. Me, David Benoit, Keith Askins. We came in and just rolled them, boy. Beat them by 20 plus. And they were like, who the fuck is this crew right here? they couldn't handle us. And the problem with that is, you know, when you play in the SEC and you in the Pac-10, you don't really see us play. So nobody knew what we had. It was like, oh, this is the SEC team. They got shipped out west. When we won the SEC, we should have been playing in Atlanta. And I'm glad they shipped us out west, because they shipped Shaq, Chris Jackson, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, and Stanley Robbins. They put them in Atlanta to the West Coast. That's fine. West Coast teams are soft. We came out here and just rolled everybody, man. Except for when we until we ran into Loyola Marymount, and I missed the shot at the buzzer to lose that game. But I was fine with it. I love playing on the West Coast. Whoever thought I'd be playing in a Laker uniform and living on the West Coast now.
Hey, Josiah, I know you mentioned you a UCLA guy. And I know USC, Crosstown is dealing with some coaching issues. Not that it matters to you at all whatsoever, because I'm pretty sure you like seeing USC go through these type of things.
Love to see it.
But USC is better. I know that rivalry is better when both teams are good. You hearing any buzz about who they're looking for to fill that role? And, because USC is a star-studded job, and they want stars there. Any type of buzz out there in LA?
It used to be a star-studded job. I don't know if it still is.
I'm sure Urban Meyer's making some calls now. After every L the Jaguars take, I'm sure that job is getting more and more and more appealing. I'm going to take my ass back to college.
Every time.
Josiah, let's resolve something right now, all right? Me and B-Dog have a problem, all right? If you go back to – what year was that, B-Dog? When
talking about 05.
Oh, 05 season, 06 05. National title.
Oh, who deserved the Heisman Trophy in 05?
Who got it? Did Vince get it that year?
No, Vince should have got it. It was Reggie.
But they gave it to Reggie.
I mean, I'm an LA guy. I got to roll with Reggie. But that team, if you look at that squad, they got so tired of winning. After that Notre Dame game, you could just see that these dudes, you look at their faces after that game, man. It was just, they were running LA for a good, 2-3 year period. But shout out to Vince and that Texas squad that came in and put it on them.
I've some folk, you're just hard of hearing and they don't understand. I've told Big Shot ever since we've been doing this show and this conversation has come up, that you don't give Reggie Bush the trophy. He deserved the trophy. I don't care what happened in the national title game.
I don't care what happened in the national title game. Don't get me wrong. Reggie Bush, great. But I just don't think he deserved it that year. I think it should have went to Vince. Because think about it. Reggie's team was stacked. It was stacked. Vince's team, not so much. But Vince made that team look like
Whoa, wait. His team wasn't stacked?
Not offensively. Defensively, yeah.
This argument will continue for 20 years. This will never get resolved. It'll never get resolved.
And by the way, Vince said he can come on Monday. So we need to get a time.
All right. We'll work something out. We'll get Vince on this time around. We'll see. We'll put this debate up again. All right. Well, let's let Josiah bounce, man. Josiah Johnson, we appreciate you, man. We all respect what you do. We love your content.
Yes.
Shout out to Legends of Chamberlain Heights, one of my all-time favorite shows on Comedy Central. And just, you're the best, man. Thank you for taking time.
Thank you, sir. And I will become
a super follower. I got to support what you do, bro. I don't usually pay for stuff like that, but I will become a super follower. I appreciate what you do.
I appreciate that $4.99, bro. I'll definitely make it work. Any questions you got, hear me. The direct contact, let me know what's cracking.
Yes, sir.
It is the best time of the year to play daily fantasy sports. You've got football, which we play every single week. You've got the Major League Baseball playoffs next week, which I'm excited for because Atlanta won their division, and we're going to be facing the Brewers. Be excited. That's a good thing. I'm actually very excited to hit because you get the wild card series, you get the division series, a lot of good plays on the board, especially if you play Stat Hero, because Stat Hero will put their lineups up, and you can pick the lineup you want to play against, which is what I love. So it's just great. I mean, Dodgers, Giants, Braves, whoever you're pulling for, you just basically get out there. It's the perfect time to play Stat Hero.
Who doesn't like being in control? Stat Hero puts you in control by posting their lineup and basically challenge you to beat it. And you get to pick the lineup you want ahead of time. So you have a good shot to win. Who doesn't like winning? I know I love winning. Unlike other fantasy sites where you have to pay against thousands of lineups and pros, it's just you against the odds.
Yeah, I don't like to play against the guys that know what they're doing because they always win. Mm-hmm. I'm better at, give me multiple lineups, which is what they're great at. And just, I know all the guys in this lineup. I'm going to play against these guys. So I want to look at their Major League Baseball lineups. I want to look at their football lineups. I'm going to pick the players that I know better And that's going to just up my chances of winning from Stat Hero.
Yeah, go to stathero.com/bigshot. Sign up for free. And right now you can get 3 times back on your first play. That's three. You know, we all like that number three. Ori for three. That's 300% match for our listeners. That's unheard of. Go to stathero.com/bigshot. That's stathero.com/bigshot.
Pluto TV is playing the biggest movies every night this summer for free. Watch hit movies like The Matrix, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Scary Movie, Runaway Bride, and more all summer long. Check out the biggest stars like The Rock, Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of free TV channels in English and Spanish featuring TV shows, news, sports, comedy, and more, all for free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device, including Android and Apple smartphones. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
Training camp. Can't believe it started, man.
Yeah, it's up, man. There. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we got preseason games in the next
week and a half,
2 weeks.
I work Sunday, and that was so funny. I was on my way to the Rams game. I was all excited. I was like, hold on.
That was a star-studded event. Everybody named Mama was there.
No, not that last one. This one coming up. I didn't want to go see Brady. I wanted to go see, you know, Murray. I want to see the Cardinals. So
you didn't want to go see Brady?
No, they hurt, man. It's still fun. The defense is all, you know, mad and messed up. I want to see a good game. You know what I mean?
It was a good game.
Yeah, if you're a Rams fan.
Which I am.
Which he is.
Yeah, no, bro. I'm like, I want to see some – it was just like no fight. Like, just the whole decimated DBs, nobody – hell, I could have went and played DB for them.
Mm. I don't have no sympathy.
Have you been to a stadium yet or not?
No, that's why I wanted to go. I just want to check out the stadium. And
SoFi?
I hear they got – you know, going to be in a suite, too. I hear they got really, really good food, too. Mm. So –
I was going to say, it's going to that, and it probably costs a damn fortune.
Well, there's this game in February. Here's a nice, you know, a big game, one of the biggest events in all of sports called the Super Bowl out in L.A. And in that building, you know, one individual, you know, first name B, last name Dog, maybe trying to come on out there and, you know, see some folks and, you know,
come on.
Okay.
Let me know if you need a place to stay.
He could recommend a couple good hotels. A couple places near the stadium. I get your refrigerator box. You can sleep with the other cats. So.
What is traffic going to be like during that time?
Oh, it's already bad over there.
Sucks already.
So it's going to be awful.
I missed the part of the pandemic when there was no traffic. Can we go back to that?
Okay.
Damn, it sucks.
In L.A., you can walk outside and you can see all the way to freaking the PCH, you know. I'm like, now it's like, he's like this. Is that? Oh, that's a tree. You know, it's so much smog and, you know.
I was about to say, that's the
dirt
smog.
And air.
Yeah,
it's the smog and from the fires, too, from the fires.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, man, why do you live out there? Good Lord. ATL has got good chicken wings. That's all I'm saying.
It's called a son in high school and a wife from this area. So
I gotcha.
We make our sacrifices.
I know.
B-Harp like, I don't know if I want to get married now. It sounds like I got to make too many sacrifices.
Oh, no, I'm going to get married. I just won't live in L.A.
Now, if she has a great job and makes more money than your job, you will be living in L.A.
If she has a good job and making more money, I'll live wherever the hell you want.
Yeah.
As long as I can sit on my ass, I'm good. I am good.
Go ahead. So what's in your game room downstairs? Did you figure it out? Your man cave.
Yeah, no. I would say, so, you know, Harper wasn't here for this. One of the things we did last week. So we had I have several issues in my home that I needed Rob to kind of weigh in on. He was one of the things I want to do is I have a basement where I've built out like a game room and stuff down there, and I've always wanted a cigar store Indian. I don't know why. It's just something I grew up with. Like, I had friends that had them. And my wife is like, no. It is culturally insensitive. You are not going to put a 6-foot wooden Indian in the basement. Rob has agreed with her and said, no, you can't do that. You absolutely cannot do that. You can't have this guy. Now, I've had people on Twitter immediately everybody with the Seinfeld gifs. I mean, everybody with the go get the Indian. You got to put it down there. Go get the Indian. So that said, yeah, no, I don't have an Indian. I've not gotten that done.
What's your take,
B-Dub? What do you think, Harper? Is the cigar store Indian culturally insensitive?
I don't know. I can't really answer that. I have no clue.
Okay.
No,
I told him. I said, "Won't you put the Marlboro man down there? Then you want to put that? How about put that guy down there?
Just the guy, a neon guy, smoking a cigarette. Just yeah.
That's not something that I would have ever thought someone would put in their man cave. That's a first for me hearing that.
I guess you know why. There was a big one outside the liquor store my dad used to go to when I was a kid. My dad made many a trip to the liquor store. And when you were a kid, you went into the liquor store with your old man back in the day because he wasn't going to leave you in the car. So you would walk, and that had a big cigar store, 6-foot cigar store Indian.
Yeah.
I had friends that had them like in their basements and stuff. And I just always thought it was like this cool, eclectic kind of game roomy type thing. Yeah. And I never, ever put any stock into the racial insensitivity of it,
right?
But apparently it's a thing.
Well, goodness, Rob, if the Indians got to change their name, how you figure not putting a 6-foot Indian in your basement falls along those lines?
Can I get a 6-foot wooden Native American for my basement? He's not an Indian. He's a Native American.
Okay.
I'll give him like some poker cards to show he owns the casinos. You know what I mean? Like, you know? So, no, I don't have a cigar store Indian in my house. And I hope to one day. I don't think I'm going to.
Your wife, Shannon, shut that down real quick.
She shut that down fast. And as we all know, well, you don't know so much, Hart, but Rob knows, when your wife shuts it down, you always have to go through the, do I want to die on this hill? Is this the battle that I want to go to fight? I'm just going to let this one go, I think. So.
I was like, you'd be inching closer to it, and you think she's forgotten, and you try to do it. She's like, what the hell is this shit?
I'll show it to her online, be like, look at that, check this out. There's one for sale down the street for like $100. And she's going to give me the side eye and be like, I was just kidding. I did not bring this up again. Did you see any of the Conor McGregor stuff this week, by the way?
Mm-mm. I didn't.
So apparently Conor McGregor threw out the first pitch at a Cubs game at Wrigley Field, and it was 50 Cent level bad. I mean, it went all the way off to the side, hit the bricks behind the backstop, rolled across. It was horrendous. And now look, okay, a crappy first pitch is one thing. Well, but if you go to Wrigley and you're like the celebrity at Wrigley that day, you also get to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game during the seventh inning stretch over the PA with all the fans. It's like a big deal if you're a celebrity. You get to go to Wrigley. I mean, Bill Murray's done it 100 times.
Why would they have Conor McGregor to do it?
Conor McGregor. So here you go. Ready? Here's Conor McGregor's rendition of Take Me Out to the Ball Game. This was a mess.
I'm here with Mateo, here with Kieran. We're going to sing the song. Let's go. 1, 2, 3. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back.
No.
So let's root the Cubbies. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Let's go, Chicago!
Okay, it wasn't that bad now that I hear it again, but I don't know. It was just kind of
what was.
Have you never heard
what
this
was
song,
worse,
Connor?
What was worse, that or the pitch?
Man,
because the pitch was pretty bad.
The pitch was pretty bad. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Did you just look it up? Oh man, it was pretty awful. It was pretty awful.
You know, it's a couple of times like I'm listening to that rendition, right? And the first thing that popped in my mind is Carl Lewis.
Oh God. My all-time favorite.
National anthem.
My all-time favorite. I
got
to find it now and play it.
Carl Lewis is worse. And let me tell you why it's worse. When you're in an arena and you're singing the national anthem, everybody's quiet. So even though no one's saying anything, you can hear the cringing on people's faces. And you're just looking around like, oh, my God.
And better yet, the players in the lineup, they're like trying not to laugh while he's singing the national anthem, if you will. So let's go Carl Lewis here.
Dirty Harry said in one of his movies that a man's got to know his limitations.
Yes,
Carl Lewis apparently didn't see the movie.
If his rendition of the Star Spangled Banner prior to the Nets Bulls game last night is any indication, as a public service, we present now only excerpts. Ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem.
All right, are we all ready?
All right, here you go, Carl. Take it away.
Here we go. Oh, 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 say can you see, and the Rockets red flag.
Oh.
Uh-oh. I'll make up for it now.
Uh-oh.
Oh, the land of the free.
Oh my goodness.
Oh Lord. There's nothing better to me than that. Uh-oh.
The fact that he said, I'm gonna make up for it here now, and then proceeds to not make up for it. Hey, bro.
Oh, you're right. That is far, far and away the worst. And my all time favorite thing. Carl.
Big Shot, let me tell you something. I'm so sick and tired of Conor McGregor in every sense, in every way.
You know what?
I am
I'm kind of with you. I'm kind of with you.
Yeah.
And it's not that look, I got nothing but respect for the guy as a fighter, but I'm on McGregor overload. I've heard his name way too much.
Yeah, it's time to lay it down, hang him up, whatever you want to call it. I just think he knows at the end of that thing, he's trying to soak up every little piece of, you know, love he can get and just move on and, you know, try it. But when's the last time he won a fight?
Oh, good. McGregor? Oh, man.
It's been a few years.
It's been a couple years, yeah.
Because he's a troll now. He's turning into a troll. He was once an elite fighter, and we know when you lose and you take those L's, you know, how people go from loving you to hating you, and then you become irrelevant. You know, Ronda Rousey at one point in time was the same way. But he's now be going from being a class A and grade A fighter to now a grade A troll. And it's annoying now. Bro, go sit down somewhere.
You know, think about Ronda. She was smart enough. She said, okay, I'm going to transition to something else. I'm going to move over here, make some movies. I'm going to go over here to the WWE.
Yeah.
And then you know what? I'm going to make me some cool seven figures like this, and then I'm move on. This way I ain't got to get my head bashed in. You know what I mean? So,
and by the way, congratulations to Ronda Rousey's baby was born just the other day. She finally had her baby. So congratulations.
So she's really done fighting now.
Yeah, she is done. Done.
Yeah.
Speaking of great fighters, I do enjoy the Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder back and forth. I think the fights are good when Deontay's not wearing some giant costume that weighs him down and makes him lose a fight.
Excuses.
But I do love that they get into this smack talk, and anytime they bring it up to Tyson Fury, they're like, they got a fight coming up. And they go, all right, well, what, you have any messages to Deontay Wilder before your fight? Yeah, here's Tyson Fury.
I'm going to smash your fucking face in, you prick. How about that for a fucking message?
Okay. I don't know why. There's something about that accent that I just...
you prick.
I just love it. Just love the
Let me
accent.
Just say this. I want Deontay Wilder, you know, my homeboy, Dirty South Alabama. I want him to go in there a la Mike Tyson, just going with a fucking towel over your head, going there with this Fury that you want to just kick Fury's ass because, you know, he beat you. And don't blame it on...
Oh, no, he beat the fight out. Yeah.
Don't blame it on the suit. I know we all want to have some kind of excuse. Dude, we knew you was going to have a third fight regardless. Come on.
Next Saturday.
Go in there and whoop his ass.
Next Saturday.
Bring it back home.
Yeah. You prick.
You prick.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I will pay for that fight, I think. That's a good fight. I enjoy that rivalry.
I think I'm going to pay for it, too.
Yeah, it's a good... And boxing needs this. Boxing needs a good rivalry with good fighters and a good fight. Now, we'll see.
And you know what?
Happens.
You know, just like you two, I think I'm going to go to somebody's house who's going to pay for it. I ain't coming out of my account.
You gonna bring some wings?
No, hold on.
What free shit do we have in the prize closet at the radio station? That's what he's gonna bring.
Here's the type of person. Here's how I was raised.
Okay.
If I'm going over somebody's house for an event, whether we're watching a game, match, or whatever, I've always been told, don't come empty handed. So I may not be paying for the fight. Hey, you want some pizza? Hey, you want some wings? Cool, I ain't got no problem. I go pick that up and bring that right over. I'm a great guest to have because I don't come empty-handed.
See, now it sounds like you're pitching to stay at Rob's house for the Super Bowl. That's what this feels like. This feels like a redirect.
I can't bring nothing on the plane, and I know food I did hella expensive, so I ain't spending no kind of money out there.
Hey, let me just say this. You can always put it in your suitcase, you know, a nice little bottle of tequila or some whiskey or whatever you want to bring. Put it in there. Come on. And we can sit by the fireplace, we can sit by the TV, we can sit by the pool, we can sit wherever you want and enjoy a good cigar and a cocktail and talk about Rob and say Rob's not here, too bad.
Oh, don't threaten me with a good time.
Talking shit about me is a good time. I love you guys too. Jesus. Look, I'm not for everyone, but I mean, Christ. Big shot of the week almost went to the gentleman who tried to trap an alligator with a trash can in the driveway.
He's my hero.
I don't know if you saw that video.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Oh, my. Like, I almost gave that. I'm like, that guy's out of his damn mind.
Flip-flops and do-rags and all.
Yeah. And I'm going to catch an alligator with a trash can.
What else was he but Big Shot, tell me, what else was he supposed to do?
Go in the house.
Call animal control. Call anybody. You got white neighbors that want to hunt this thing. Go call one of them. Shit.
Look, this man had his superpowers activated. He had on his do-rag and he had on his Nike flip-flops that gave him traction. He said, I got this trash can. I'm ready to rumble. And the man did just that. He trapped, that's a nice size gator, and trapped him in that trash can. Hey, don't forget the gator. Come get the whole trash can.
And then he just put the shit out on the curb and was like, all right, trash guy, come get that on Thursday. Come pick that thing up.
The funny part was how the gator was just like, what is he doing? And he just kept backing up. And then usually the gator would come at you, but I guess he wasn't in the water where he can do that death roll. So he was just.
Yeah. Well, he was at one point when he was closing the lid on that thing, you could see it trying to roll out. Yeah. It was kicking. It didn't go without a fight.
Hey, but you know, when you said it, it reminded me of that game. If you just had, we've been playing this game, and he says, okay, who did this?
Oh, black crime and white crime? That'll be the next edition of black. Yeah, because I promise you, if it's guy catches an alligator with a trash can, I'd be the first one to go, well, that's a white guy.
It sure is.
I would have said the same thing.
Hey, no, bro, that's a white guy. That is a white man trying to do
it. Yep.
Because when my buddy told me about it, I was like, a white man crazy. No, dude. When a white guy this time.
Oh, no.
Well, look, what can I tell you? Every once in a while, you know, you get us having to do what we need to do to protect the family and get stuff out of our yard. But most of the time,
he was in the front yard. Just close the door. Like, protect your family. He's not coming in the house.
But, you know, everybody has a camera. Now he's know he's going to become instantly famous on social media.
He is.
So
he's a hero. I mean, I can't just look. If I see a gator in my front yard,
caught a gator with a trash can. He's a hero.
I don't know what I do.
So, like my house in Houston, we had about a 10-foot gator back then, two of them.
Like and as so a pet?
It was just in the lake behind the house.
Oh, okay.
And you had to be very careful because it had a nice running path around it. So you have this one little stretch where you know he kind of sits at or she or whatever it is. And you kind of come through that part with a little pep in your step, like, so, because, you know, that way if you see him, you already got a good head of steam. He won't be able to catch you. But, gators are scary, man, though.
Yeah.
I would not do this.
Gators are, and I learned this from spending 10 years in South Florida, very fast if they run in one direction.
Yeah.
So, like, if they're coming straight at you, they can book it. And they can move very fast. So the secret, this might be bullshit, too, but the secret that everybody in South Florida would always tell you is just run in zigzags. They can't catch you if you zig and you zag. They can't turn like that. They can only go straight really fast.
And right.
I'm like, how about I just not go near the gator? How about that?
Exactly.
I don't go near the damn thing. Catch me.
I live in Atlanta. I ain't never seen a gator in nobody's yard in Atlanta. And I probably never will. And I thank God for that each and every day.
Well, you spend some time in South Florida and find out how many people's pets get eaten by freaking alligators all the time down in
Florida.
South
got
Florida.
Too many other problems. Yeah. I don't need no gator in my front yard.
That and iguanas falling out of trees. I mean, South Florida's full of it, man. All right. Well, the real big shot of the week is actually going to go to a Jersey City police officer named Eduardo Matute. Here's why. Officer Matute was responding to a call about a man dangling a baby from a second-foot balcony in Jersey City. I don't know if either of you guys saw this story.
Yeah, that sounded like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, he was dangling the baby. They tried to set up a perimeter and negotiate with the man, but he eventually followed through with his threat and dropped the baby. Officer Matute was there and caught the one-month-old infant midair. The baby is totally fine. But the guy got arrested, obviously, charged with attempted murder, aggravated assault, endangering the welfare of a child. But, man, thank God for that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, thank God for him, because that is a treacherous story.
That was so scary, man, for somebody to do that. It reminds me, like, you know, that story where the grandfather dropped the baby off in the ship. There's so many stories you hear about
this. Oh, the cruise ship story.
Yeah, the cruise ship.
God, that broke my heart. Yeah,
and for him to purposely do this to an innocent baby, and all I could, you know, and this is where I guess this is where I get in trouble at, because all I could think about is put his ass on the side of a building, equivalent to the length of that what the drop would be for a baby, and then drop his ass head first off, head first off the fucking building too.
100%
And this is where I get mad at, like, we don't even need to have a trial for him. This is where you're using taxpayers' money to have a fucking trial. Why? The cops saw him. Neighbors saw him. We already know he's guilty. Don't waste my fucking money in giving this dude a trial. Put his ass right in jail and give him the maximum.
And the thing about dropping him from a building, you weigh too much, so it may not be there nobody down there to catch you.
Oh, we ain't going to catch him. We'll let his ass drop.
So that's what I'm saying. Nobody can catch the baby. You look too heavy to be caught. So pay attention to, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And dropping a baby.
Yes.
Yeah, it's cold-hearted shit. Yeah. I would just put the guy with the do-rag and the trash can under there and try and get him. Try and catch him. Go ahead. Get his ass.
Had a gator waiting for him when you fall in.
Close the lid. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.
Hey, what's up? It's Meta World Peace here. And I got my new podcast, Metaphorically Speaking. We're going to be talking about mental health, basketball, and a lot of tough topics. All that and more with my friends and celebrities. So make sure you check out my podcast, Metaphorically Speaking, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.